I want us to open our Bibles, please, in the book of Philippians and the chapter number 1, Philippians chapter 1. Reading a few verses here, verses 1 to 6 of Philippians chapter 1. Let's open the scriptures together and do follow the scriptures, please. And can I just simply say we thank God that the little baby we've been praying for, that little John has been out of hospital, but certainly he needs much prayer. And we'd ask you to pray for this little child. Continue to pray for this little one, that the little one might know that touch from the Lord and also his parents, that God will strengthen them as well. Philippians chapter 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. We know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. The Lord has been definitely leading me afresh to this passage in the book of Philippians that we want to meditate upon. But to be able to get the backcloth or the background of where this comes in the journeys of Paul and the ministry of the Apostle Paul, I want to set, as it were, the scene this morning. And therefore, to do so, we need to turn to the book of the Acts of the Apostles. I want you to turn, first of all, to Acts chapter 11, how that the Lord is leading and how the Lord is guiding his servant, the Apostle Paul, who has been saved and has been brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we'll find when we turn to the 11th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we'll find the work of God in Antioch. If you go down there to the verse number 26, it says this, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." And we find when we come to the study of this, Antioch was an important city. It was an outstanding church. In actual fact, it was the center of Christian work, because since the persecution of the believers in Jerusalem, remember, many, because of the persecution, many of the believers from Jerusalem and Judea, they fled, and they came to places like Antioch in Syria, or today it's located in southern Turkey. And so we find that the Lord is working in this place. If you go to verse number 21 of the 11th chapter, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." So God is blessing his work here at Antioch. Of course, we find that it was simply through the preaching of Christ. Verse number 20, it says, "And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus." And they hadn't gimmicks, they simply preached the Lord Jesus Christ. And the heart of their success was their preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the preaching, the Bible says in the verse number 21, "And the hand of the Lord was with them." And I think it's important for us to realize that God has called us to this house to be preachers of the word. And God has called men to the pulpit to be preachers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you exalt the Lord Jesus and you preach Christ, then God's hand will be with you. And it says a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Verse 24, it goes on to say, "And he was full of the Holy Ghost and full, or a good man full of the Holy Ghost, and much people was added unto the Lord." You see, because of the work that was progressing, we find that the believers or the elders up in Jerusalem, they sent to find out what was going on in Antioch, how that God was moving and how God was working, and they sent forth Barnabas. Now remember, Barnabas was always the man that was he was the encourager. And so whenever the work of God was going on in Antioch, and the believers there in Jerusalem, they sent Barnabas. He was a good man to send. And so whenever Barnabas was there, he was a good man, it says verse 24. He was full of the Holy Ghost, and he was full of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. No, Barnabas is not known in the scriptures as having been a great preacher. It doesn't tell us of the great sermons that Barnabas preached, but it certainly was that he was a key man in the work of God. You'll find that Barnabas is mentioned in a number of important occasions in the scriptures. And so the elders at Jerusalem, they send Barnabas to Antioch. God blesses him and God uses him. But Barnabas knows there's a great need amongst the believers at Antioch, and he knows that they need to be taught in the Word. They need to be fed in the Word of God. And so Barnabas, he realizes this is a greater task than his. You know, sometimes people have got this idea, you know, I'm really the only one that can do this. You know, Barnabas wasn't a person that looked upon himself as the beginning and ending of everything, that was only Barnabas. No, Barnabas was a man that was an encourager of others. Barnabas was a man that God used to be an uplifter of the people, and he saw great need. So what does he do? He remembers Saul. He remembers Saul of Tarsus, this man that God has gloriously changed, this man that God has gloriously saved. 10 years before it, God saved Saul. Saul, you know, many of the believers didn't accept him because they were afraid of him, remembering his past. And friend, God showed to Barnabas the man that was needed was Saul. And so Barnabas didn't think that he was undermining his ministry by sending for Saul of Tarsus or the Apostle Paul. The Bible tells us, it says, verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. He goes to seek for Saul because God has shown Barnabas, here's a man. Here's a man that can feed these people. Here's a man that can lead the flock. Here's a man that can build them up in their most holy faith. Here's a man that can nourish the believers. God's really working. But my, they need to be nourished. They need to be fed. They need to be led forward in the Lord. And so he seeks out for Saul. Verse 26 says, and when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. Came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Thank God for the encouragement of Barnabas. Thank God for the man that was able to seek out for Saul. Because let me tell you, isn't it amazing? Here's a man that others, even amongst the believers, didn't want to know because they were uncertain of him. And yet this was the man that God was going to use to give us most of the New Testament under the Holy Spirit to write. You know, some people had written Saul off because of his past. But Barnabas was led of God to seek out for young Saul to lead the work of God. Now we move from this passage of God's Word, and the work of God is going on here, and then we come to chapter 13 of the Acts. And once again, we come to the city of Antioch. It says in verse number 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. And so we see the work of God now progressing. The work of God is established. The work of God is going forward. And there are a number of prophets and there are a number of teachers. In other words, outstanding believers in the work of God. Sometimes when that happens, we can lose our vision. Things are going along nicely. We can lose the vision of even greater things.
But friend, let me tell you, from that time, the work of God is on the move. You see, the work of God needs to go forward. And I believe that what God is doing now, God is going to take His work forward. And even as the work of God is established in Antioch, some people, you know, have no further vision than just here. They're just caught up in themselves. But you know, the work of God was to go forward. Because God was going to build His church, and God gave them a vision. You know what the Bible says? Without a vision, the people perish. I believe with all my heart, friend, that God has greater things to do even among us and for us and through us in the days which are to come. I believe with all my heart that God is not finished with His witness, but that God can move this witness forward, and that God can give us a vision of even greater days and greater times. And that's exactly what happened here. God has given these people a vision, and the gospel is now on the move. You know, the godly missionary, Henry Martin, who was a missionary to India and to Persia, said this: "The Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of missions. And the nearer we get to Him, the more intensely missionary we will become." The closer you get to the Lord, friend, the more intensely missionary you will become. And so we find that the believers here seek the face of God. And as they seek the face of God, look at verse number 2 of chapter 13. "And as they ministered to the Lord, and they fasted," they're in touch with God. You know, they speak to the Lord and they serve the Lord, and as they fast before the Lord, and I believe they're seeking God's guidance, the Holy Ghost speaks to them. And He says, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." You know, it's great when God speaks to us. When God shows us the way that lies before us, when you're seeking the face of God, and I believe these folks were asking God, "Please, God, show us the way." You see, the work of God is established. The work of God is progressing. And then the Spirit of God says, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." You know, thank God the church was praying and fasting here. Sadly, many among the believers are playing and feasting instead of praying and fasting. I think we need to be in earnest prayer before the Lord to ask God to guide us in the days that lies ahead, that God will show us the way. And God will answer prayer. And so God did. And God told them in a very distinct way. He says, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and they prayed and they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. You know, when God calls people, it's our duty to send them. I've often thought, you know, When God takes young men like our brother Ian Loughran, took him to Scotland, when I think of our brother David, and God took him into the ministry, I think of our brother Stephen, when God has called him, and also brother Morris McCaughey, and God has taken them from the fellowship here in Macrofelt. And I must be honest, you know, there's a part of you says, "Listen, keep them. We need them." There's a part of me that says, Lord, let them stay and let them strengthen the folks here. But friend, let me tell you what happened was this. The believers didn't hoard the talents. They were willing to send them away. And God hasn't given talents for us to hoard the talents. I believe that God has given talents to be used in a service. And the other part says, Lord, thank you for calling these young men for the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it says here in verse number 4, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Now they were sent forth by the congregation at Corinth. But in reality, they were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. This was God's work. This was God's moving. This was God's working. And they went, and thank God, what did they do? Look in verse number 5, it says, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. That's what they went forth to do, to preach the word. And they're preaching the word of God. You notice it says here that they went to the synagogues of the Jews. Now, why was it that Paul went to the synagogues? And I'll tell you why. Because it was Paul's practice to go to the synagogues because that's where the Word of God was. That's where the Word of God was. And it was the practice of the synagogue service that would give them the opportunity to speak. Because you look in verse number 15 of the same passage. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And so they went where the word of God was. And where the word of God was, God had given them a wonderful opportunity to preach Christ. And that's what they did, friend. And so Paul and Barnabas, they make their way on their journey, their first missionary journey. Now, they took John Mark with them on that first missionary journey. And go through chapter 13, go through chapter 14. Chapter 15 is different because there is a problem. Because the Jews, certain of the Jews, wanted the Gentiles to be circumcised. In chapter 15, in verse number 1, it says, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Yet God didn't say that circumcision was the way of salvation. Go to verse number 11 of chapter 15. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. It's the grace of God that saves. It's not circumcision. And so there were those that wanted to put burdens upon the Gentile. If they profess faith, they had to be circumcised. And so there was a conference in Jerusalem. And after the conference in Jerusalem, then we find that Paul and Silas goes back to Antioch. Go back now to chapter 15. Go to chapter 15. And it says in verse number 30, it says, and when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered, the multitude of gathered, they delivered the epistle. In other words, what was decided in Jerusalem was brought and read to them. And the people rejoiced, verse 31. And when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And so God is blessing. Verse 35, it says, Paul and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of God. There's a central part of our worship, friend. Teaching and preaching the word of God. Oh, may we never, ever, ever lose sight of that. That the central part of our service of worship today is this. It's the teaching and the preaching of the word of God. This is a preaching house for the word of the living God. Now, time had passed. Go to verse number 36. Chapter 15. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And so Paul realized, you know, that the church at Antioch wasn't to be a parking lot. It was a launching pad. Friend, we haven't just come to park here. Thank God that God has launched forth men to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find once again that Paul is desirous to go around the churches. And what is his desire? He wants to strengthen the converts. I think that's an important ministry, friend. You sometimes have got this idea, what you've got to do is get somebody saved. That's it. Now, friend, first of all, we can't get them saved. Salvation is of the Lord. It's only the Lord can save. But I can tell you, after a person is saved, there is the strengthening of the converts. And sometimes the church doesn't see the importance of that. And I believe with all my heart, it is of vital importance that we strengthen the young believers, that the young believers are taught in the Word of God. The young believers are strengthened in the Word of God. And that's with a burden, I believe, that was upon Paul's heart, that they would strengthen the young believers. And so he had a desire to go back to the churches. It wasn't enough just to see them and get people saved and then on you go. No, he wanted to go back to strengthen the believers, to nurture them in the things of the Lord. You see, Paul wasn't desirous to having followers of himself. He wanted to gird the flock, strengthen the flock, that they would go on with God. And then there comes a problem. You know, the work of the Lord's not without problems. Here were two great men. Here we have, on the one hand, Paul, and on the other hand, we have Barnabas. And Paul says unto Barnabas, he says, Barnabas, I want us to go again. I want us to go again. Remember, the Holy Ghost had separated the two of them. The Holy Ghost says, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I have chosen them for, the work that I've given them to do, this is my work. So Paul says to Barnabas, Barnabas, let's go again to visit our brethren. In every city where we preach the word, and see how they do. Barnabas says, yes, Paul. Yes. Let's go. Barnabas says, Paul, but I want to take John Mark. I want to take John Mark with us. Paul says, no, we're not having John Mark. We can't have John Mark. You remember what happened before. You say, what did happen before? John Mark had gone on the first missionary journey, friend, and then John Mark went home. He quit. Paul says we're not having quitters here. This is not a journey for quitters. This is a journey for goers. Barnabas says, well, I want John Mark. Paul says you can't have John Mark. Knows what the Holy Ghost says, friend? Because you see, the Bible doesn't try to cover up the problem. Verse number 37, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them in Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. The division was sharp. You see, Barnabas kept on insisting. You might ask the question, why did Barnabas want to take John Mark? Well, that's true. Let's tell something straight about it. You see, John Mark was a friend, a relative of Barnabas. And somehow, remember, Barnabas was always the encourager. Barnabas was always willing to give a person an opportunity. And I believe what Barnabas was trying to do was this. He wanted to give John Mark the opportunity to prove himself. That whilst he had quit on the first journey, that somehow, let me tell you, just because you have made a mistake, it's not final. There was nobody else reached out the hand to Paul. Barnabas, he was the one that reached out the hand to Paul. That's why people think that if you make a mistake, you shouldn't have an opportunity to repair the damage. And so we find that Barnabas was determined. That's what the Holy Ghost says, verse 37. Barnabas determined to take with them John. And Paul determined he wouldn't. We have the source of the problem. It was about John Mark, the quitter. We have got the severity of the problem. It was a sharp division, the Holy Ghost says. It was a sharp contention. You notice there was a separation because of the problem. Because the Word of God says, they departed asunder one from another. And Barnabas takes John Mark, and Paul takes Silas. Now, maybe you're wondering this morning, as I was when I was reading, tell me, who was right? And to be honest on the answer to the question, friend, probably both were right in some things and both were wrong in others. You see, there's no man perfect except the Savior. Because let me tell you about John Mark. John Mark ultimately did succeed in the ministry. And I'm glad that Barnabas given me the opportunity to do so. In actual fact, the wonderful thing about it is this. God healed the breach between Paul and John Mark. You say, how do you know? Well, the Bible tells me so. Turn to keep your hand there in Acts. Turn to 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you know, Paul's dying for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's laying down his life for the cause of the Lord Jesus. Go to chapter 4, 2 Timothy, and verse number 11. It says this, only Luke is with me. Then he says, take Mark and bring him with thee. For he is profitable to me for the ministry. He's profitable to me for the ministry. And I'm glad that God worked in such a way that the breach was healed and Paul came to love and Paul came to appreciate Mark for the ministry that he was done. But let me say this, friend. It was a painful fact. And it is a painful fact that good and godly men can disagree. But the hurt was healed. You know, it is also true that for the journey that Paul took, Silas was the right person. Who was Silas? This second missionary journey was going to be a difficult missionary journey. It was a time whenever they were taken to prison and they were beaten because of their testimony and their backs were torn and their feet were put in the stocks. Probably John Mark wouldn't have been. The one would have stayed. Thank God Silas did. And I believe that before God, Silas was the right man for that moment. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 15, verse number 22, that Silas was one of the leaders of the church. It says, Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church, and sent chosen men of their company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And I believe that whenever they got to the tough times, Silas was the right man. Now, God changed the workers, friend. But thank God his work went on. The devil could have sought to stop the work here. But now there are two missionary teams instead of one. And we have the Bible telling us that Barnabas took Mark, verse 39, at the end of it, and sailed to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the church. You know, I read this week. If God had to depend on perfect people to accomplish his work, it would never, ever get anything done. And sometimes, you know, people are just looking for perfect people. And friend, then you're disappointed. Here's two great men of God. And yet there comes a division in the work of God. But God overruled. God overruled. And thank God, we find that they did, as it says in verse 41, and he that was Saul, or Paul, went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. The work of God did go on. They confirmed the churches. They strengthened the believers in their faith. Then you come to chapter 16, and we've come to Philippi. And I know time's away, and so therefore we're only given the background, as I said. When you come to chapter 16 of the Acts of the Apostles, you're introduced to another man, a young man who's named Timothy. And Timothy has a godly mother, and he's a godly grandfather. I believe he's an unbelieving father. But under the ministry of Paul, Timothy is led to faith in Jesus Christ. And thank God he has a great testimony. Look at verse 2 of chapter 16, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. Now he's taking an extra brother. You see, Silas replaced Barnabas. But God's work goes on, because in actual fact, if you read this story carefully, friend, you'll find that God gave him a double portion. Because not only did Timothy join him, but Luke joined him in the work of God, faithful Luke. And they joined the work of God together. Now go to chapter 16 and verse number 4. It says, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in numbers daily. You know, Paul had a greater burden. On that second missionary journey, he not only wanted to confirm the churches, but he wanted to evangelize the lost. He never lost his burden to see people saved. And friend, I earnestly pray that you, as a child of God this morning, will never, ever lose the desire to see men and women saved by the grace of God, because if they die in their sin, they'll be lost forever. And so Paul desires, having established the churches, having increased in the numbers in the churches daily. Thank God there was a work going on day by day. And so we find that Paul now wants to go to the lost and evangelize the lost. And that's where we find the Holy Ghost guiding Paul. What to do, where to go. That's the fact the Bible says, look at verse number 5. Now when they were gone through, or verse number 6, when they were gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. See, the Holy Ghost said to him, no, not there. The Holy Ghost says, here. And friend, that's something that God's children must remember. Listen, you must be ready to listen to the guidance of the Spirit of God. You see, Paul desired to go. He wanted to go into Asia. And the Holy Ghost says, no. It says he essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of God said no. There may be things that you want to do. I have no doubt whatsoever, friend. It was Paul's burden for the lost that wanted him. He wasn't wanting to go these places just for the sake of going. No, he wanted to reach the lost for Christ. Listen, you say, well, was God not concerned about the people in Bithynia? Was God not concerned about the people? And there's you. Yes, God was. But that was not the place for Paul that day. God had a plan and a purpose, and God opened the way of his will. And what I'm saying to you, brethren and sisters, is this. It's vital to know the mind and the will of God. Thy way, O Lord, not mine. Thy will be done, not mine. Teach me thy way, lest I might stray. Thy will be done. And it says in verse 8, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. You see, it was God's sovereign will, friend, to lead Paul west into Europe, not east into Asia. And Paul was stopped at the Aegean Sea, and he needed direction. Verse 9. And a vision appeared Paul in the night. God made the way clear. I believe, my friend, the safest place for the Christian to be is in the center of God's will. I didn't say the easiest place to be. I said the safest place for a child of God to be. Even though you face hardship and difficulty, even though, friend, you have to go through difficult times, it'll not be trouble-free.
But the best place to be for the child of God is in the center of God's will. And now God's opening up the door. And God's taking them to Philippi. May God give you a heart, friend. Wait on the Lord. Wait before Him. Seek His face. Seek His will. And God will open up the way. Don't step ahead of Him. It says Noah walked with God. Let God open the doors. Aye, and let God even shut the doors. But let it be God. God's will. God's way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to our hearts today. We thank thee for the leading and guiding of thy Holy Spirit in the life of the Apostle Paul. And Father, there were problems and there were difficulties, but we thank the Lord that he kept going. We thank thee, our God, for the right man in the right place at the right time. And oh God, we thank thee that the work of God didn't stop, but the work of God went on. Even when difficulties and problems came. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, would you guide us as a people, congregation. Help us to seek your will. Help us to seek thy face. Thy way, O Lord, not mine. Thy will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen.